Everyone faces questions and decisions that require insight and answers as we move forward personally, professionally, and corporately in all areas of this thing we call life in America today. Hello, this is Joe Schofield, and I invite you to tune in every Monday evening from 6 to 7 p.m. as we talk together and hear from key leaders of all ages and backgrounds about your questions. Interesting, informative, intuitive, but always encouraging. Tune us in on BBS Radio Network.
Join Pastor Joe and co-hosts Ron Greer, Dr. Paul Hall, Stephanie Thayer, and Dr. Craig Thayer in Raising Expectations.
Hey, good evening, friends. We're sure glad to see you. It's Monday night, time for Raising Expectations, and we are so glad you have tuned us in tonight. We've got a wonderful program, as you know, with our good friend, Pastor Will Hobbs. It's going to be a great evening. There's so many things happening in the world today. Hopefully, it's going to be something that, once again, will raise your expectations to encourage you and know that God's got a plan and he is in control no matter what happens. And as you know, we're all men and women of belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are Christ followers, born-again believers. Our sins are under the shed blood of Christ at the foot of Calvary, and we know that we're going to see those we love and be with him someday in heaven because he is coming again. But in the meantime, it's exciting to know that each and every day along the way, God is working to bring his will about in our lives individually and collectively so that he will be lifted up and people will find the answer they're looking for that will last forever. So glad you tuned in again tonight, and we're thankful for you. Going to show you our team real quick. You all know the team, but if you're tuning in, I get it every week. Some kind of a text will come to me and say, now, who is that person again? And so we're going to go through this again really quick. We're going to go on the West Coast first, as you know. We start out there on the West Coast with my good friend, our brother in Christ, Dr. Paul Hall, in Lompoc, California. And Paul's a retired pastor, been my friend for 55 years. That's really a miracle in and of itself because we're only 40.
That's right.
Paul, your nose is growing. How's mine doing?
But anyway, it is. Look it up.
Okay. There it goes. Yeah, we've known each other a long time and brothers in Christ. And he is a retired pastor. He's a Bible teacher. He knows the word of God. He knows how to be used of the Holy Spirit to bless and to comfort and to help people. And everybody who knows Paul very soon begins to love Paul. Love you, brother. Glad you're here tonight. Good to see you.
Thank you. Good to see you.
All right. So we're going to jump the plane and fly to the south of the United States. Actually, it's the east side of the south. How'd I do, Ron? But in any event, we're going to be there in Dalton, Georgia. And there in Dalton, Georgia, two of our favorite people in the world, Steph Thayer and Dr. Craig Thayer. Dr. Craig, I'll start with him this time. I'll start on the right, and then we'll let her take the credit since she made it such a good job on you. But Dr. Thayer, Craig, we call him Tank. Everybody who knows him calls him Tank. You read about it in his book, Saved. You'll want to get a copy of his book, Saved. It's an excellent story about everything that he did, even the sixth grade, things that happened way back then. God works in the ordinary. Finding God there is one of the thrills in life, one of the exciting things in life, because God's always been there. Sometimes we snooze through and missed out. So you want to make sure you get a copy of that book, Saved. He is a surgeon, a trauma surgeon. He's a coach. He's a great dad. He's a missionary, really. He's done just about everything as God has called him in his life. And we love and appreciate Tank very much. And like we say, we're blessed to have him as our brother in Christ. Now, he's the one on the right. You already figured that out. There's no test. Don't worry. But on his right, he's on my right, there is his wife, Steph, there, who, as we say every week, is the number one. We say it because it's a true. We only cover facts on this program. She is the greatest health and wellness coach in the nation. And I want you to write something down because she, with her website, Wellness with Steph, she has a great new program starting out, and you're going to love it. It's called Live Your Life Out Loud, and you're going to want to find that. And here it is right there. You need to pray for her. She is going to be used of God in a mighty way to help and to bless women with situations in their lives that only someone like Steph can reach with the power of the Lord Jesus Christ and turn their life around and help them. We can't do it, guys, but she can. And so hold her up and pray. And so check that page out also, just like our page, and see what she's doing. We're really excited about what God's doing in Steph's life because we love and appreciate her just like we do Tank. So this is going to be really neat as we pray for her. So now, if we come back this way, or as they say in the South, this away, since we're there, and we do it right now, which means right now, so you end up in Texas before you know it. And in Texas, in McKinney, Texas, is one of our favorite pastors in the state there. And his name is Pastor Ron Greer. And as you know, Ron, he's famous, world famous for having the best bookcase on the entire web. Anywhere you're going to find it. It's right there. It's beautiful. Ron is a great pastor, a great friend. He knows his politics too. He ran for office once or twice. And this guy is he's kind of a Johnny on the spot. He's got answers around. But the most important thing is all those answers land in the grip of grace, and God puts him out as he leans his life into the will of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God uses him every day, which is really fun, really exciting. And I'm sure glad that we get to be brothers in Christ. So he's right there in McKinney, Texas, and he works for Man in the Mirror. So he's there in Georgia, South Georgia, actually the South, and he is a counselor. He works with churches, with men, and everything else. I'm putting all my old age into one thing, just remembering the South. Other than that, I'm right on it, spot on. But in any event, you never do that. You just remember one thing, and it's going to be that one thing. It's going to be a brain freeze because you love your brain. You laugh with them, and you forget it. But anyway, right there. And I didn't give any secret addresses out this time. How am I doing, Tank? But anyway, we'll keep right on going here. Hey, guys, listen. We have got a great young man, a great young pastor with us tonight. I had the privilege of working with him, and he ministered to me so many times. He's a Texas A&M Aggie and Southwestern Seminary there. And this guy just loves the Lord, and he just did things. I would pitch him things to work on, and he'd come back, and he just did incredible ministry there in the church that we were able to serve together in. So I was so thankful that God gave me the blessing of Will Hobbs to be one of my guys to work in and to bless my life there at this church. So he is now one of the pastors there at Kelview Heights Baptist Church in Midland, Texas. And we were talking about a month ago and just kind of chewing the stories, what's going on in the world a little bit. And we came up with this idea. He had a great title on it, Love of God, Family, and Country, because this is Valentine's Day. And everybody right now is kind of thinking about Valentine's. That's a good thing to do. That's his lovely wife, Lauren, and two precious little girls. Look, are they sweet? He'll tell us about them some. But love of God, family, and country. We want those girls, when they grow up, to have a country that still loves the nation and loves the church and loves God and loves husbands and wives in reverse order. But that's the way that rolls. So I want to introduce you to that very quickly. So I'm going to let him go. What we're going to do tonight is have him go ahead and just share the things that God's laid in his heart this week. And then as he shares these things, he'll give us a spot to kind of jump in, and we're going to have a great discussion. If you have something that he lays on your heart that's really grabs a hold of you, feel free to call in. TJ's there. We've got the best engineer you're going to find anywhere. TJ will get a hold of that for you and take that call, and you'll be set to go. So without any further ado, we're going to welcome from Kelview, Midland, Texas there, Kelview Baptist, Pastor Will Hobbs, and we're going to give you the right hand of fellowship. I got that one down, huh? Will, welcome to Raising It. Oh, I did it wrong, didn't I? Yeah.
Well, you can do the right hand.
Yeah, right hand of fellowship works, yeah. The round the clock, and thanks for being here, whatever it's called. Stephanie, what is that again?
It's the round of applause. It's actually from Boy Scouts.
I love it. Well, Stephanie was the Boy Scout.
Too many years in the Baptist Church.
You can do the shaking today.
Hey, guys.
Good to have you with us.
Hi, Will.
Hello. Yeah, if I'd have been in Boy Scouts, I would have known about that one. Is that clockwise or counterclockwise?
No, clockwise.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, that's great. Before y'all did that, I had never seen it before. That's funny. Yeah, is this our Valentine's
Day? In England, it's called anti-clockwise.
Oh, well, we just...
Is that rewind time?
Rewinding time. Well, we're on a roll now, Will.
You're oh, ready. Gracious.
So, Joe, is this our Valentine's Day talk, right?
Yeah. That's the one. We had some of those before he got married. That's the one. He met a, she, he married the most wonderful young lady. Lauren's a sweetheart. And they were a couple. The whole church was just loved what they were doing. And we're so happy and proud for what God's done in their lives. But I'm going to let him talk now. Will?
Sure, well, the way my time off worked when we – I worked at the church with Joe and we my wife and I got married. And the way my time off worked, we my dad bought us a cruise for our honeymoon. So it was a seven-day balcony. Don't ever get balcony because once you do it, you can't go back. So seven-day exactly. balcony that he put us on out of Galveston, and we had it all planned. But most of those, you get on the ship on a Sunday, and you get off on a Sunday. Well, that's two Sundays in a row, so I couldn't do three. So our wedding was on a Saturday, and Joe did our wedding. And so we had church the next day. Well, everybody at church was expecting, okay, you're already going to be on your honeymoon. But it was a week delayed. Do you remember that, Joe?
Yeah, you show up.
It was a 1 week delay. So I show up at church the next day and I'm, you know, doing my normal thing and checking on classes and stuff. And they're looking at me like, what in the world are you doing here?
What happened?
I said, we have one more week, one more week. But no, that was great.
Amen.
That was great.
Oh, gracious.
Okay. So yeah, tonight we're going to talk about love of God, family, country, definitely in that order, but just those three things. When we talk about those three, love for God, love for family, love for our country, I think it's important to talk about the love of God first.
Amen.
Because everything else is really based off of that. Now, why is that? Well, because if God is the source of love, and I believe he is, then when we have to go to the source to find out what the proper definition is, and also the perfect example of how to receive that love and then how to show that love to other people. So we have to go to the source to find out what is love. I mean, we're not going to know unless we go to the source. A lot of people have a lot of really bad definitions of love. I'm sure you guys have heard some of them, and you hear it and you think that's really not love. And then sometimes you hear it and you think, yes, yeah, spot on. That's a great example. So we have to go to the source to find out the answer to the question, what is love? And also, how do we live that idea out in our lives? What does this actually look like? So the four gospel letters, for those of you who don't know, these are great. If you've never read them, you should go read them. There's even reader Bibles you can grab. If you want to read them online, you can do that for free. If you want to grab a reader's Bible, they take the chapter and verse markings out, and you can just read it in paragraph form like you read any novel or any book. Great way to read through the gospels if you just want to read through the stories. So the four gospel letters are Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, okay, they tell us the true story about how God took on human DNA in the person of Jesus Christ so that he could connect with mankind and relate personally to us, be tempted just like we are, but yet perfectly say no to sin and to disobedience. And then, even though he didn't have to, die to pay for your sin that you could not pay for, that separated you from a perfect and loving God. So the complete payment really has already been made for you by Christ on the cross. So if you accept that payment and ask Jesus to do that for you personally, then you have every bit of his righteousness that gets placed in your account. And that, I think, is the best, most pure display of love that humanity will ever see. So when we receive that love and then we take that love to other people, no, we can't die for other people's sins like Jesus did, but we can show that same type of love that Jesus showed us to others. So that type of selfless love that puts the other person's needs first and really wants God's best for that person. Okay, so that's the first thing, love of God. If you're going to talk about loving family, loving my neighbor, loving my country, it starts with love of God. First, it's given to you. And then you have the ability to extend it to everyone around you. So that's the first thing. Now, look, I think you can show love to other people around you without knowing who Jesus is, without trusting him as your savior, but not completely. And you won't have the best internal guide to show you how to do it or to give you the desire to do it in the first place. You're not going to have that right motivator that you need to have. So it's really the best thing to start with the love of God. So that's the first thing. Second thing. is the love of family. Now, you could just say vertical for the first thing. You could also say horizontal for the second. That's another way that people explain that. So this would include, we're going to talk more about family, but obviously this would include anyone around me, anyone at work, coworker down the hall, neighbor across the street, neighbor next door. So love of family, even if you're single, this applies to you really because you typically do have a family. And even if you don't have a physical family or any kind of relationship with them, if you're a believer in Christ, you have an even more important family. And that's the one that you have with other believers. So the second thing is that it's love of family. And then the third thing is love of country. Okay, so the application of how to show love for your country might look a little different depending on where you live on this planet, right? I mean, I think we all can think of different examples for that. But so here we're focusing more on where we are currently, the United States of America. And then, of course, if y'all want to, we could branch out and consider what that might look like in a different country. So that's the third thing, love of country. And I just want to say about that, although some of our country's founders would switch number two and number three in order of priority, a few of them would say that. In other words, some of our founders said that the country should actually come before family. Mm-hmm. And that might sound strange to us. And I'm not sure whether I would follow that in every application or situation of that idea, but they did have a significant point in prioritizing it that way. And here's what it was. Their thought was, what good is trying to take care of your family over your country when your country's falling apart, your government's getting too tyrannical, and they're doing injury either personally or economically to your family and to your future generations? Mm-hmm. So I do understand and agree with that part of their line of thought, but I don't know that I would prioritize country over family in any particular given situation. I think that there are some where I would. I think that there are some where, you know, I might not. Patrick Henry, you know, back then it was open ballot. So you didn't campaign for yourself and spend all this these millions of dollars of campaign money and open ballot. So if people in a community knew a guy who they said, hey, Patrick Henry would make a great governor. You know, if they knew a guy who would make a good spot, they would write him in. And if he got the most votes, he won the election. They felt obliged. They felt duty bound to fill that position if they were voted in. And so Patrick Henry kept telling the people in the states that quit putting me in. I think it was probably the third time, if I'm not mistaken, if I'm remembering correctly, he said, I'm done. I'm getting older. I want to spend time with my family. You know, quit voting for me. They put him in again. I looked this up. I think it was the third time. Put him in again and he won, and he could have turned it down, but he said, nope, they put me in. I have a duty to do it. I'll be with my family later. And he went and did it. So the third thing is love of our country. And maybe other than number one, the love of God, I think that this third one might be the most misunderstood and the most underappreciated and therefore the most unapplied one of the three. So if we're going to love our country, then we need to be good citizens, right? Mm. We need to get involved in voting. We need to be engaged and active, as you know. So we were joking about if this is the Valentine's Day episode, Joe, but really it is that. But it's also really the primary is coming up in March. So it's kind of that too. Well, you know, we can talk a little bit about that. If we're going to show love to our country, we need to be good citizens. We need to be involved in voting. We need to be engaged and active as good citizens of our country. We need to be serving somewhere in our society, somehow, somewhere. And so I would say this, I don't think this is too strong of a statement. You can't love your country without getting involved in the government sphere. Whether that's local, you know, I've served before as a deputy voter registrar just to help. You wouldn't believe how many people are not registered to vote, or they moved and they've been there 5 years and they thought, oh, I haven't registered yet. We have an obligation. We have a blessing and a privilege to be able to do that. So I've served as a deputy voter registrar before. So that would be a local level idea or example. You can serve as a poll watcher. You know, a lot of communities, they're saying, well, people are cheated at the polls. There was speculation of that. I do believe that went on. I don't know to what scale, obviously. If you're concerned about that in your area, go serve as a poll watcher and keep them accountable and have accountability. This is how this happens, right? honesty, when all the honest people sit at home on their hands, the dishonest people can get away with almost anything they want. Right. So go serve as a poll watcher or another type of election official. That's a great example, local. My uncle has served as a judge in Texas for years. And so, again, that's just a great example of how to serve on a local level. Whether that's at the state level, there's a lot of opportunities to serve at the state level, or whether that's at the federal level. My brother served in the Marines at 8th and I Barracks in Washington, D.C. Yeah, Ron. He had top clearance to help with D.C. security, White House, things like that. My sister-in-law serves right now in the U.S. Capitol on the House side, not on the Senate, under the chief administrative officer. So there's a great federal idea. I have a rich family legacy of military history. Both of my grandpas served in the Navy and the Army Air Corps in World War II. My great uncle served in the Navy training UDT frogmen. Ron and some of you other guys, you probably know what that is. Those are the predecessor of SEALs, basically. The UDT frogmen, he ran the Hawaii dive station for a while and other, let's just say, other special deep sea tasks that needed to be done. He did those or helped do those. So there are many different ways to serve. And if we're going to be good, and hey, it doesn't matter if you're on the seafloor doing a special mission or doing demo work or training UDTs, frogmen, you know, Navy SEALs, running a dive station. If you're doing something fancy like that, or you're sitting at a poll location in your neighborhood or just outside of your neighborhood as a poll watcher, both of those jobs are extremely important. And so don't think, oh man, I'm just a poll watcher. What can I do? Crucial job, as I think we saw last election in certain areas, not everywhere, but in certain areas that is an important job. More people should have been doing that. So there are a lot of different ways to serve. If we're going to be good citizens, we need to understand that our country is worth saving. Man. And a common illustration of that is this question. Here's a question. Are more people trying to get out of our country, or are more people trying to get in our country? And we know the answer to that question, don't we? So I want to dive a little bit more into this third area of our life that's so important, because in the past, as I've been on this show, we have talked a lot about God. And of course, we can do that tonight, too. We have talked a lot about family. We've spent 2 weeks, right, Joe? We did two shows on marriage. Those are all very important things. I can dive into this third area a little bit more. I do have more to say there. But before I do, do any of y'all want to zoom out for a little bit and discuss either love or any of these three areas that are so central to our lives? You have God, family, and country, and they're really three of the main spheres that God built for us and centered us in. What do you guys think?
I'll say something. There was a recent poll done in the age group of 18 to 24, and only 20% of that group are patriotic. Mm. So somewhere along the way, they've lost our history, the cost of freedom, all those things. And so I think your points to listeners should be, hey, if you can take that and serve your community and be a mentor to that age group or people around that age group and teach them stuff. I mean, show cemeteries with multiple crosses and what the cost was, and, you know, get back to loving your country, and don't watch the stupid media because it's so negative. It just makes you, you know, it makes you conspiracy theorist.
Yeah.
Overnight. Yeah. So no one's got trust anymore.
Yeah. If it bleeds, it leads. Is that what the
it's right. Right. Well, Tank, on that issue, I think the survey was 69% don't believe that America is a good place and aren't patriotic. Ages, I think it's 15 to 30, I believe. 69% no longer think America is a good place, a great country. And I think I read another thing, something, it was 30 some odd percent also say they would never fight for America, even if we were attacked. It's it's a sad state. But I want to echo what the thing you said. The one thing that I do have is that we separate those three things, and in my head they can't be separated. That makes sense. that my ultimate love of God prompts me to love my family, yes, and then love the place I live, and it's sort of all three at one time. I cannot truly and love God if I don't love my family. You know, you don't say that you love me but hate your brother. Don't say that you love me and you're not sacrificially living for your wife. You can't. Husbands, mean fathers, don't exasperate your children. You know, don't treat them harshly. Why? Because the first three chapters talks about my identity and my position and my love for Christ. And then everything else flows from that, right? And the country itself, I think if we look at the last part of Ephesians, talk about the workplace and slaves to their masters, right? Mm-hmm. I think we can go on also kind of extrapolate that out. We're going back where Paul got it from. And that's a love for the place that God has placed you, because in Acts 26, God has already determined the time you live in and the boundaries in which you live. So the country and place you live in, God has predetermined long before you got here.
Yeah.
The era you live in, God has already predetermined that. And you go, well, why? Why did he determine me to be here, right? The rest of the passage talks about the things God did through their lives. So they had a great impact on the place they live. And I think we can honestly say, if it had not been for Christianity and the impact of Christianity, we would all still be living as barbarians. Yeah. Christianity civilized the world.
Ron, good Christians make good citizens, living consistently with their faith. We've seen examples of living inconsistently, like Jamestown, but we've seen Plymouth, where they do live consistently.
Yes. Proverbs 29, when the righteous are in authority, people rejoice. Was Proverbs 11, when the righteous thrive, right, the city rejoices. Right? Mm-hmm. So whenever the righteous are actually impacting, living out our faith, everybody else benefits from it. So, yes, sorry. Long
time. No, that's perfect. It's exactly right.
Amen.
Yeah, but I think we're in a world where it's inconvenient to be righteous.
Absolutely. Yes. By design.
I have to cross the road for the Samaritan that's on the ground dying. I'll continue on my drive. I'll be late.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, Craig, you do pay a price. And like Ron said, by design, you do pay a price for living righteously. Yeah,
absolutely.
It's a good point.
But what does God say to Adam's son? Sin is crouching at your door.
Waiting.
Yes.
He's a lion.
Seeking, we can devour. Absolutely. Yes. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I one other point. You asked the question, how is it that you have so many people who don't understand what used to be a common notion? You go back, you say, you mentioned Patrick Henry and the founders. I mean, it was a common notion, right? And I think part of it is that they were still close enough to what they left to start this experiment.
Yeah.
They understood the impact of not having those loves and those things and that priority. They understood it. We have, I think, our comfort and advancements in technology and everything else has sort of dulled our senses. And I won't let the school system off the hook. I still to this day, I will hold that it's an intentional strategy on the parts of us people, use the educational system to dumb down, devalue, and fool our kids.
Yeah, Webster would be horrified, the father of education. Yeah, Webster would be just totally at odds with,
Yes, absolutely.
Will, if you got another point there, go ahead. That's great discussion, With you, Ron, amen.
Yeah, and Ron, it's interesting you said that because, you were talking just a second ago about not having the perspective of where they came from. And back then they were fresh from persecution and other things. Yeah. And, you know, when you shared that stat and Craig and Ron shared those stats about that age group, I'd be curious. I don't know the answer to this. I'd be curious to see what percentage of that same age group have not had much exposure, back to what you were saying, Ron, to these, even today, to other things going on in other countries. Hey, go travel to China. Hey, go travel to certain areas of the Middle East. Hey, go travel to, you know, I mean, we have, we're live. I'm not going to name him. We have a missionary that we're very connected with. And I don't even know, I guess I won't even say the country. He's in Southeast Asia and it's a closed country. You're not supposed to be able to get in. We smuggle Bibles in, we smuggle all kinds of stuff in, which is ironic. It's probably being smuggled right next to illegal drugs. So right next to what shouldn't be being smuggled, we're smuggling good things. And we're planting churches and he is doing so much work with the locals there. And you have to equip, lead locals to Christ, and you have to equip and trust them because you may not get to stay as an American or if you're a South Korean. South Koreans is a great missionary launching country right now. They get access to a lot of countries we don't as Americans. So that's awesome. God's moving in South Korea in a lot of ways. But he might not, this fellow's from America, he might not get to stay there, Ron. And so he might come back. So he has to train these local guys. Well, he's in constant contact with them. We equip them with a phone and a scooter and a certain number of dollars per day. It would astound you guys how low the number is for them to live on. And content is an understatement just with that level. We do try to get it up over time, but just with that level of provision. And Ron, just in the last, I can't remember the time frame, he gave us an update within the last week. Just in the last, I think since 2020, he's lost 19 of his pastors to, not to disease, to, they've been killed.
Oh my.
Because in this area of Southeast Asia, when you come against extreme Buddhism and other things like that, if you come to Christ, not only are you considered dead to your family, they'll kill you. So, he's lost a lot of these pastors to that. And so, back to what y'all were saying, you take this age group, but they can't legally get over there. But let's say we could get them to an area like that and say, look at what a complete lack of the gospel and morals can look like. And I bet the percentage is 99. I don't know what it is percent, Ron, of that same age group that has not had much exposure to things like that.
Yeah, I think that's what the commentary was exactly right. You know, a generation of people that knew God because they grew up with them, but then didn't transfer that knowledge to the next generation. So they have no idea what God stands for, how purposeful he is and everything in control, and which then translates to patriotism and what Ron was saying, just that inner Holy Spirit of giving the ultimate servant of your life to save someone else from the bullet that's being now thrown at them from an enemy. So, and to defend our country. So, I think when you haven't been exposed to those things, you don't know.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that you can be taught, I think.
Absolutely.
And then you have our three oldest have gone through public schools. And, the last to go through the public school, luckily, didn't go through the Common Core stuff. Mm-hmm. But I mean, our oldest was in LA, going to Cal State Dominguez Hills and Cal State LA. And I mean, we'd visit her and she'd be, oh man, socialism is great. You know, it's just like, you know, whatever the current class.
Yeah, where is that?
But 6 weeks later, it was a new thing.
Did you ever read America's Considered First Argument, the Mayflower Compact? I mean, it began kind of that way with people not chipping in. And so they weren't working. And there was a point where they made the compact, which specifically said, you sow what you reap.
Yeah.
The Bible is a great example of this, and I do the chronological Bible every year, so I'm actually in Numbers right now, but near the beginning, and you see a lot of God thinning out problematic nations and communities that are not doing what God has said. And I mean, consistently, I'm with poor Israel in the wilderness, you know, and over, he's like, what are you doing? Don't intermingle with these people. Oh, we need to separate the ones that are idolizing. Oh, he is constantly, and many of them were not even a generation away from slavery or all this wickedness, or just the debauchery, all the things that they've been through. And so it just shows you how easy it is for human nature to get away from it, and that God's intent really is for us to be using the Bible as a moral compass. And it's this constant battle to keep that happening.
When that generation had seen the parting of the Red Sea and had seen all those things stop and what had happened like that, and then to get like that, it makes me stop and think, you know, we get so inundated with things. We need to watch the news. We need to know what's going on. We need to pray. We need to do like Will's saying, be involved. But at the same time, we need to be on our knees every morning and night and say, Lord, always remind me, I know I love you because you have done this, 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 and this. Thank you for loving me. We need to keep plugged in so that we don't lose that. That just hit me. How could they forget that? It's amazing to me, you know. What he's done.
Well, I mean, I would agree, except for I said, don't watch the news. Dig and find it. Yes.
Our intake of God's presence through his word and through prayer need to be more than our intake of news. I mean, yeah, I shouldn't bury my head under the sand and not know anything that's going on. But
stay in the word. Amen.
Yeah. But right. Dave Ramsey accurately calls it fear-born.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They keep you afraid, and you're going to click, and you're going to watch, and you're going to, and you just sit there like a chicken pecking at the, you know, at the food.
Absolutely.
It's crazy.
Well, every night when I turn the news off, I go to Psalms where it says, forever, O Lord, thy plans are settled in heaven. Take that. Okay, we're good. Time to go pray and sleep. Right, Ron?
There you go.
Go ahead, Will.
I think right now people hearing, you know, love your nation, that triggers some people. But what if you said love your culture? All of a sudden, people take that differently, right? If you think about the holidays, the things you do in your home, we do some really silly things, right? Everybody probably has their stuff. I don't know, because my great-grandma, you know, 8 times back did it. Well, that's also just like our nation, right? I like what you said, Ron, because it's true. When I think about family, some of those traditions and things just go with. I can't separate out one from the other, and you should love and want to keep where you've come from.
Yes. Multicultural is fine as long as you become an American, thankful for the culture you have as an American and what that stands for too. But I'm sorry, go ahead, Will. Go
ahead. No, I think you guys are all right. There are things that God gave us to do here, however we couch it rhetorically, I think it's fine. If we were to say reach our culture, if we were to say love our country, if we were to say, you know, serve in government, however you'd want to phrase that, there are things God gave us to do. And we're all saying the same things just in different ways. And you're exactly right that there's a tactful way to say it depending on who you're talking to. And so love is not, when we talk about love and we're talking about Valentine's Day, we're talking about loving in these three spheres of life. You know, love is not just an emotion. Emotions involved, but it's also an action.
Yeah.
Love is an action accompanied by emotion that seeks the benefit of its object. Yeah. So I think that is what we need to focus on in our relationship with God or our relationship with family or other people, which would include our neighbors, and our relationship with our country through our government is those things are just so, so crucial. Craig, what you got?
Passage in the Bible that for king and country sakes, for without love, this would all be meaningless.
All being gone,
And I submit it's a whole, you know, paragraph or more.
Yeah.
I don't know, I forget where it is, but I mean, that's God's point, right? Just don't follow the rules. Just don't cross the T's and dot the I's. Don't do it because you're religious.
Yes.
You know, it's got to be from your heart.
Right.
When you help people.
Amen.
And, you know, we can do it. I mean, what she said, and I love the word culture because I forget, I think I used that interviewed by a UK guy on a podcast. And we're just like brothers across the sea. It's like, you know, what unites cultures is food. We don't discriminate against the food.
No.
I love all the different foods. Thank God we have different cultures for the different foods.
It's true.
It's a good point. Yeah, wherever. Maybe.
By the way, that's 1 Corinthians 13 that you're talking about.
That sounds right.
You know, I think back to wait, let me wait. Paul, I'm sorry, I don't want to jump in. Sorry. I thought Paul was saying something. You're gonna say something.
No, I wasn't gonna say anything.
Yes, you were.
I will. No, I wasn't.
Yes, you were. Yes, you were.
No, I'm when I was in high school and elementary school, my teachers had come back from the European front.
Yes.
And
yes.
My science teacher was a top turret gunner on a bomber. My uncle was a side gunner on a B-24. They very rarely talked about their war experiences, but we had great respect for them because we knew they did something significant. Mm-hmm. And I think given the nature of where we've been recently, my brother-in-law, when 9/11 happened, went out and signed up. He said, they're not going to do it. We're not let them get away with that. A little phrase that I found, and I just want to interject it. It said, a warrior doesn't fight because of the people in front of him. He fights for the people standing behind him.
Amen.
And we better remember, you know, that we've been entrusted with that responsibility to fight for people that we love, you know, and little Jesus, meek and mild, you know, Jesus didn't lay down. He didn't roll over. Right. You know, and no, I don't think, you know, when he was challenged, I think he stood to the challenge. And I think that's important. John Smith, who came over for the Jamestown settlement in 1607, in his diary, there's a little statement he wrote. He said, we will succeed because of our hard work, our perseverance, and our virtues. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important to remember our virtues. Bill Bennett, you remember Bill Bennett? He when he was Secretary of Education, he wrote a book called The Book of Virtues, and it was, you know, wildly popular. Yes. I wonder in school now if you talked about virtues. What are our virtues? What does it mean to be a virtuous person? And I think those are things that we need to address. If not in school, we certainly need to. I mean, it needs to be done at school, but it needs to start in the home. You know, our kids need to see that we're virtuous people, and we're virtuous because of our love for the Lord, you know, what he's done for us. I just think that's something important. Last little thought, as Christians, I really like the writings of C.S. Lewis. And in one of, he made a statement about his series about Narnia. He says, Christians, we need to remember that we are all between the paws of Aslan. And, you know, let's don't be fearful. We are between the paws of Aslan. You know, Christ, he has given so much. And for us to be willing to step up, you know, whatever that means, you know, however means that takes. So those are my thoughts. You know, it's so discouraging. It can be so discouraging if we get wrapped up in what appears to be. But I think I remember in the Old Testament, there was a prophet who said, when his servant came and said, we're surrounded, we're in trouble, he said, go take another look. Right. And he took another look, and what happened? The mountains were full of fiery horses and chariots. You know? Yeah. And we need to hold that vision. We need to hold that vision. So that's just what I wanted to throw in there.
And Paul, you know, with Lucy and Aslan, C.S. Lewis did a great job of putting us in Lucy's shoes, that no matter what she was facing, how hard the trial was, she knew Aslan was somewhere close. And then when she got to see him, she was the one who would run first to him. She was the one who would just sit with him. And she knew he was strong. He's not a sucker, but she knew he's not a wimp, but she knew that he was loving and caring. And so C.S. Lewis did a brilliant job of, I think, putting us in Lucy's shoes, wanting us to be more like, we wanted when we read the story to be more like her because she's the one who got it. Of course, for those, maybe no one listening has ever not read those books, but in case you haven't, Aslan very clearly represents Christ.
Mm-hmm. If you don't read the book, there's a video.
You can at least watch
it. That's right. No excuse. Yeah.
You know, I think back to, I think it's Genesis 12, where God calls Abraham out, and then he says he gives him the promise and he gives him the land and people. Mm-hmm. So, and then later on, he reminds them that there's really nothing special about you. I chose you in order to send you into the nations around you. And you say, for what purpose? Well, so that you would impact the nations around you for me, right? The kingdom impact. And then you fast. I mean, so there's constant throughout the Old Testament, God calling his people to this relationship, right? A love for him that is sacrificial. Love God, like your heart, soul, and mind, and strength, you know, for what purpose? So that I can use you to impact the world around you. You become a picture of the rest of the nations of hope and of love, and most of all, for this mighty God, right? Second Peter 2, he says that we are a chosen people, a royal priesthood. So still now the church is God's chosen people. And for what purpose? The purpose is to impact the world where God has placed us.
Exactly.
Because if we're not loving God, we're not impacted. I know people will be angry, but I still will contend that when there's no impact from God's people in the communities and the neighborhoods, the places they live, they have ceased to be the people of God.
Amen.
We have ceased being God's people.
Salt and light.
Yes.
Are you going to be salt and light unless something's rotten? Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. I was at a conference, and I will admit I was escorted out, kicked out off the stage because it was a number of much of the pastors' conference.
Yeah.
And I was called to speak on one issue, but it was something much more pressing at the time. And they were mostly inner city pastors, and something that happened. So I probably was a little more emotional than I need to be at the time.
You have to tell me the story later, but go ahead.
Yeah. But I just felt God at the time. It said, so you had this horrendous criminal activity, this degradation taking place around this area and this city. And the concentration of churches, there's a joke that there's a church on every corner in this whole area, right?
Stevie,
highest homicide rate, highest crime rate, highest single parent family household rate, on and on and on. And my point to them is, if you claim to be God's people and God's church, you're in the middle of a neighborhood that continues to decline and just be destroyed, you're in sin. You are no longer being God's people. You're useless. You're worth nothing to be other than be thrown out and trampled on by feet.
Mm.
And I was still whole. The American church, given the decline of the country and the culture, I say that we are God's people in sin. We have withdrawn and closed ourselves inside, and we are no longer impacted. We're letting everybody else do it. And we're shocked at some of the crazy stuff goes on in our government and our police department.
I got to jump in. Only got 1 minute.
Sorry. Wow.
No, that's a great story. I'd like to keep going. But
yes.
Sorry, Will.
Will, have you? No, Ron, that's great.
Have you Ron got ended it perfectly. We all need to do that.
Amen. Ugh. Exactly. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, we are, I just wish we had 2 hours. We just love to talk. Will, what an outstanding what you shared. That was great. What you brought tonight. We need to think about those things. You know, we those of you that contribute to this program, we sure appreciate you. We always manage to pull it through. It's not a lot, but it always comes through right where we need it. So thanks for your help that way and what you could do. And Stephanie, if you can give your 30-second or 45-minute professional answer.
Okay, we're going to make it short today. So you can find everything there is to find out about us if you go to bbsradio.com/raising expectations. I'm not going to go through all of it, but that's where you can do all your giving. You can find out about us, prior shows, what's coming up, all the goodies.
That's it.
I think that what Ron said is really, really important, which was
Amen.
Impact the world where God has placed you.
That's right. And folks, that's what we're trying to do, to make an impact. We're not coming in like a church. We're coming in like your neighbor, and we talk about things, where you live and who you are. And I appreciate the comments you can get back to me. It's what it's all about. We love God. We love you. We care about you. You're in our prayers, prayer requests. I'll pray for them. So stay close. And Will, thanks so much. We pray for you, your lovely family. God bless you, brother. We'll get you back on this ledger real quick. Get you set on the next subject. We need to keep you out in front. People in Texas want to hear you, and they're hearing you on this show. I got the names coming in. So, and all of them are good. Don't worry. So anyway, they're looking forward to you being with us. Thanks, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in tonight. And hey, team, thanks so much. Love you all. It's great to be a part of a family together. Thanks, P2, for all the notes and all the work. It's a lot, man. Okay. God bless and keep you. And we'll talk to you later. Give you a call. And
thanks, guys.
Ron, love you, brother. Thank you, Ron. The symbol over there. There you are. Yeah, right. Okay. All right. We'll see you later. God bless you, Will. See you soon.
Thank you, Will. Appreciate it. Bless you, guys.
Good talk.
Friends, thanks for joining us on this week's program of Raising Expectations. We profoundly hope you found it engaging and at times humorous, but most of all, uplifting, so that we may, with you, one topic at a time each week, become more encouraged to move forward to an exciting future in, as we always say, this thing called life in America today. So let not your hearts be troubled, your family, finances, faith, freedom. It can be a great future as we talk, listen, respect, and pull together. Please let me hear from you. You can reach me at 972-922-8556. That's 972-922-8556, or Joe Schofield on Facebook or LinkedIn. It'd be a pleasure to know you, and we hope you'll listen in again next week on the BBS Radio Network.